We are the Way of Fairness. And this is a podcast explaining why we created the Way of Fairness and why its time is ripe. It's time for this to happen. On the way back from the Deseret Industries, it's a Mormon secondhand outlet, LDS religion. I grew up in the LDS religion. And I bought me a coffee cup with the letter A on it. A stands for atheism. It also stands for all. So the Way of Fairness is a way to unite everybody against unfairness, whether you're atheist or not. And it's all one thing. Reality is one thing, and that's what we surrender to, and that's what we serve. So this gets rid of our selfish ego problem, our greed and so forth. Instead of being selfish and all for the ego self, that part of us we surrender, and we already are the all. The all is one thing. That's what we really are, is the all. It's what everything is. So on the way home, I make the turn onto the side road. It's a not very well used road, and I'm the only car on the road. There's another turn I have to make that's about 2 blocks away, and the road I'm on goes to a dead end, so you have to turn. It turns into a cul-de-sac where I live. I live on a dead-end street. It's a little subdivision area. So there's a young child in the road riding his bike right in the middle of the road. And I slow way down, and I'm waiting to see which way he's going to turn. And he starts confusing me. I don't know which way he's going to go, and I'm wondering, is he playing games with me or what? And the second thought, I thought, well, maybe he just learned how to ride his bike and he didn't know how. After I pulled over and thought about it, I thought, well, maybe he didn't know how to ride his bike. And I think that's probably true, because what happened, he noticed I'm there. And he realized, well, I'm supposed to get out of the road. And so, you know, that's not a good place to be learning how to ride a bike, right in the middle of a road, a two-way city street. It's 25 mile per hour speed limit, and people go faster than that, generally. That's not the point. The point is that the kid was in the middle of the road, and when he did finally decide to turn, he turned and he went right toward a mailbox and crashed at a slow speed. And I did not see him hit the mailbox. He put his hands up on the mailbox so that his head would not hit the mailbox. And then he fell down and he was like acting like it hurt his knee. And so there was all kinds of neighbors outside. There was, I don't know, 10, 20 people. And I kept going out of the way of what had happened so that they could help the child without me interfering. He might be afraid of me being a stranger and whatnot. And so I pulled over as soon as I got up to the intersection, which was about a block away. And turned back and I looked to see where he was, because I couldn't see him showing up. And though I stayed right there parked on the side of the road until I saw some activity by the mailbox. And he was hidden behind a car or something. Some object was hiding him from my straight line vision. So I guess he eventually decided that waiting there wasn't doing any good. If he was playing a game, I don't know. So he gets up and he's walking across the street. And at this point, I decide I need to go back and make sure he's okay. And so I did, and he's like gonna change the road, cross the road, and I stop for him to cross the road, so he knows I'm gonna wait. I'm not going forward, so he crosses the road, and then I roll down the window, and he's on my left side now, on the driver's side. He's headed northbound across the road to where he lives, apparently, because I saw what is apparently his sister. They look similar. It looked like his brother and sister kind of a situation. And the other family were not, they were not in the same family. They had different skin colors to some degree. So I could see that, I could see family traits, you know. So I associated that one must be his big sister. And she's like kind of angry, hostile look on her face. And of course, and I say, "Are you okay?" to him, and he won't respond to me. So then I ask his sister, "Is he okay?" And they're like not speaking. And so I said, "Leave me alone." And the reason I said that is because I was in that same neighborhood the other day, and I thought I heard someone tell me while I was walking on the sidewalk to shut up. And it upset me that someone would tell me to shut up. And I've also had another instance where a child was on a little motorized electric or tricycle on the sidewalk, and I'm on the sidewalk walking, and then he acted like he was going to intimidate me or something. And so I told him, I says, "Look, you can't be playing in the road and that kind of thing. We might have to call the cops. And, you know, we don't want to have to do that." And so today, maybe they did call the police about the child running into the mailbox. And I saw what happened, and I'm right here, and I can give testimony if they need my testimony on what happened. So that's why I said, "Leave me alone," because I got from the other family this kind of a look like, "Leave us alone, you know, mind your own business." Well, when a child is in the road and runs into a mailbox, and I'm a driver, it's my business. It's, you know, I can't leave. It would be I didn't hit him. He ran into the mailbox on his own accord. And like I said, what would a child be doing learning how to ride a bike in the middle of a road? And if he did know how to ride the bike, why is he playing this game of blocking traffic? So anyway, enough of that. That's something I don't know, but the All does, so I surrender to the all-powerful All. And they know what they did, and they know what they were thinking. And they're not the only ones. I don't know if they realize that. You know, it's like I told the boy on the three-wheel trike vehicle. I said, they probably have us on camera here. You know? And they probably have the cops on camera, too. So they probably have everybody on a camera. And that's why I have made friends with the extraterrestrials, because it's their camera. It's kind of like Santa Claus knows if you've been naughty or nice, you know. And so on with the show. I'm going to leave that in the past where it belongs now. And with no further ado, I'm going to get my headphones changed over and start the recording that I made a podcast and I put it on YouTube, the Way of Fairness channel. And I want to get it put on my website, because that's probably the only thing that I'm going to put on the website, depending on what happens with it on YouTube. I quit using YouTube because I had a dream they're messing with my videos. So anyway, I'll play the podcast in its entirety. I think it's 8 minutes long, that I put on YouTube earlier today. Hello, we are the Way of Fairness, and if people don't understand what we're doing and why we're doing it, then we're in trouble, because humans are killing each other over unfairness. We always have. And most of us are in agreement that we should all be fair. Probably 90% or more. But the power is in the hands of the minority, that 5% or whatever, that is unfair, and they will hurt us. So when we try to stop them from being unfair, they fight back viciously. They're in religions, they're in corporations, it's even in our own mind, this unfair ego, this selfishness, this greed that we have. And it's in our family, it's in ourselves, it's in the religions, it's in the schools, it's in the companies, it's in the corporations. It's in the human race. Now, I happen to believe there is a group of extraterrestrials, aliens, or whatever, and they're not fair. And they have us under control. And it's just as soon as all the humans agree to be fair, then we'll have the unity and the rule of fairness to apply to them, and they will no longer play like they're God over us, because they are not the creator. Now, a lot of us think the creator has no mind. The Big Bang, evolution, atheism. And whatever the actual truth is, that's what we're siding with. It's we're not postmodernists, no truth era. There's one absolute truth, and it's objective. Our minds have no power over the fundamental aspect of truth. What our minds do have control over is ourselves to some degree. And we can work with technology, with others, that we can accomplish things with our technology that's unheard of up until the last 5 years. And it's more that way all the time. First it was the last 200 years. And now it's down to like next year there will be things that are unheard of that we'll be able to do that we can't do right now. We probably don't even know what they are yet. Things are changing that fast in our ability to use our mind working together in cooperation to accomplish things, powerful things. Now, what if there's an ET group that's above this group I mentioned that are unfair and they're trying to control us? They're playing like they're God. They claim to be Allah. They claim to be Christ. They claim to be Jehovah. They claim to be Krishna and so forth. And what if there's a group above them that are mostly just observing what's going on? They don't need to control us. But this lower group, this unfair group, needs to control us, because they have become trapped or lost in a sense, in a non-physicality or something. I was given a dream about this by the fair extraterrestrials that explained this to me in a dream. And the unfair group, we're going to be their guide. This was the agreement. They're going to stop trying to control us if we'll agree to guide them. And I was given this dream years ago, and I didn't know what it was about. See, it's precognition. The fair group of extraterrestrials, they know the future. The unfair group, they don't know the future. They don't know how I'm finding this stuff out. They would like to know, because they don't want me having control
or not in control, rather, but being free from their control. They don't want me to get free from their control. So what we're doing is we're going to give them this deal. If you'll agree to be fair to us, we don't care what you did in the past. We forgive you for all of that. Because who knows what good can come from this. You know, they've been around a lot longer than humans have. And they made some bad choices, and they got trapped in this reality where they have to have control of the humans. We're like, they live through us vicariously or something like that. I don't know, I've thought a lot about what that dream might actually be about. So anyway, enough for that explanation. So we are the way of fairness, and this is the way that's going to solve this problem for them and for humans both. For the unfair aliens, it solves their problem because they are having problems with unfairness too. They have corruption too, you know. So we're solving the problem for them and for the humans both. So I don't know what might be the future in humanity. It's beyond our imagination what might be here in 200 years from now, say. I don't know. I'm not worried about that. I'm just worried about the kids and the grandkids and the world, the people that are here now, that the children are being born around. We're all turning cruel and mean to each other. Well, we always have been as humans, you know. But then there's always been, like I said, I think 90% of us agree to be fair to each other. And so that's what we're doing. We're the way of fairness. And it's important to stress this secrecy that will keep your past secret if you'll agree to be fair. Because the unfair aliens won't go along with this unless they have that protection from us finding out the past. You know, there's abduction and stuff like that. Who knows what they've done? Who knows what anyone did? We don't know. It doesn't matter what they did. It matters if we can get them to be fair and stop being harmful to other people. And stop the greed and the selfishness that's causing the poverty and the homelessness. And it's causing all kinds of problems as the police siren starts to go off. So that's what we're doing. And okay, so the reason I made this video that is this practice that I'm doing, I'm a human with an ego problem. And I think all other humans are humans with ego problems, selfishness and greed. So it's what I do is the outside is the all-powerful. It's the all. It's everything. There's me and there's everything else. And together we make all that is. And how insignificant am I versus the all that's outside of me? So I'm surrendering to the outside as the all-powerful, not counting my own power at all, so that I can get my ego out of the way. So I'm surrendering to everything and everyone that's outside of me as the all-powerful. And it works. It works wonderfully. I'm not getting any conflicts. I'm staying friendly and helpful to everyone. And my heart's full of love for everyone.